Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our consideration today is our 1 John epistle, chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. What John is going to show us here is that we can have a confidence in actually knowing him. There is a fruit produced in the life that knows the Lord, that has a relationship with him. John begins our text tonight in verse 3 by saying this: by this we know that we know him. So what he's saying here is that we are to know that we actually know the Lord, not about him. He's given us the confidence that we can, in fact, know him and that we are in a right relationship with him. It really is all about relationship. The Lord wants an intimate relationship with us. He has bought us back by his blood. He has filled us with his Spirit. And as a part of the new covenant, it's exactly that. He says, I will write my laws upon their heart. Our liturgy, we cover it every week. I'm going to take that heart of stone out of you, and I'm going to put a heart of flesh in you. I'm going to write my laws upon your heart. And if those laws are written there and are truly being lived, they are going to bear fruit. And that fruit is that, as he says here, now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. It's the assurance of salvation. God wants us to know. He does not want us sitting out there wringing our hands in spiritual uncertainty about our relationship with him. This is a confidence he has given us of his good Spirit. In fact, John says elsewhere in this same epistle, this is how we know that we're in him, because of that anointing, that Spirit, that seed that is within us. Paul says it like this in the book of Ephesians. He says, the moment that you came to the knowledge of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, God sealed you with his Holy Spirit. It's going to be the text this coming weekend about the new birth, John chapter 3. It's all about this relationship. God not only is calling us and drawing us by the gospel to himself, but again, he has the promise, has given us the promise of salvation, but he also gives us the provision of salvation. He writes his laws on our heart. They bear witness that God has done a supernatural work in our life. It is evident that he has called us out of the darkness into the light. And when we are there, we know it. But John also warns, even like Jesus warned in the gospel, about certain things. But it is also true that if a man says he knows God, or I believe in God, but does not keep his commandments, that person is walking in a false hope. God doesn't want us to walk in a false hope. He loves us. He wants us sure and steady and understand that his grace is at work in our life. Now by this we know that we know him. That actually is a statement of great comfort, that we keep his commandments. It's a litmus test of knowing him. Either we're walking in those commandments or we're not. In John chapter 14, Jesus said this: if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Again, if you love me, it's about relationship. It's not about a distant working relationship. Love is intimate. It's close. We know him. We love him. And we want to keep his commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now listen to this in that same verse 16 of John chapter 14. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. He gives us of his good Spirit, again, that new birth. When we walk in his commandments, we don't keep the commandments. We can't keep the commandments of God to be justified in his sight. No, we are saved by grace through faith. But as James will say, that is a faith that produces a work. And what is that work that flows out from us? A confidence and a hope in the salvation that he's given us. The power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to be witnesses for Christ. And a love for the world. We understand, having been called out of the bondages of the world that we ourselves were in, we are quite capable of communicating God's grace to the people of the world. Because we're not coming in our own self-righteousness. There's not one that has kept the commands of God. There's none righteous, as Paul says in Romans chapter 3. No, not one. We can't go before the world and proclaim a self-righteousness as if it was our work. No, because if we try to keep the commandments, if we are honest with ourselves, without being led by the Spirit of God, if we've kept the commandments, we are going to understand that we are falling short of the commandments of God. And as James says also with regard to the commandments, he says, if you've broken one of them, you've broken all of them. Well, I know what, I broke almost the whole list. I'm not putting confidence in my righteousness and keeping God's word. No, but now that I am a new birth, by his grace he has saved me. He has given me of his Spirit. He's empowered me. And now his works flow out of me. And I know that I am his. I know that I know. And again, that doesn't mean as a Christian that we can't stumble at times. We do. Because the flesh is weak. It is weak. But God has promised that if you continue to abide in faith, he will not let you stumble onto destruction. His power is there for you all of the time. If you continue to love, the first response of that heart, by the way, that he's renewed and given you a heart of flesh, is once you do break that commandment, your conscience now being rightly aligned with the commandments of God that are in your heart. At least for me, I know, and I know it's for you too. When I sin and I break the, I say, Lord, forgive me. I'm convicted. My conscience is now that true right compass that points to the North Star, right? It's true. And when I deviate from that path, that compass convicts me. And he's not convicting me of sin for my destruction. He's convicted me to call me to himself, that I might be in a right relationship with him. So Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I will pray to the Father and he'll give you another helper. That whole point, he's a helper. That he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth. And then he tells us another most important truth that we need to understand. He says, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. The world does not know him. It's not in a personal relationship with him. But you know him, Jesus said to his disciples. You know him. You recognize his voice. Jesus said, it's one of the most comforting verses in all of Scripture. My sheep hear my voice. They know my voice. And with it, the promise, and they will not follow another. No, they hear the voice of the Lord. They keep his commandments. They walk faithfully before him. And then he says, and I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Again, there's a family promise. This is a family relationship. Jesus says, I will not leave you orphans. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit into your heart. I am going to make you a part of that family of God. You're going to know that you're a family of God. I'm going to give you that hope and that faith within you. And then even at times when you do stumble, you're saved, you're redeemed, but you may stumble. Paul assures us of this gift that Jesus said that he was going to give us of the Holy Spirit. He says, then at times when we don't even know what to pray for. You ever been in a place like that? But Paul tells us it's at that time that this Holy Spirit intercedes to the Father with groanings that are so deep we can't even understand it. Do you see who comes to our rescue? Because this time in this life, it is perilous. The spiritual forces that are aligned against us are very strong. But again, as Apostle John said, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. That seed that's within us, he has not made us just orphans in the world. He's made us sons of the King and daughters of the King. That's who we are. That is our identity. We bear his name. We've been baptized into his name. We are royal family. We have the power of God, the dunamis power of God, the Holy Spirit within us. We can walk with confidence. And if we lack any kind of knowledge, how to be a faithful witness in there, you don't need to go to seminary to be a faithful witness. The author of the Bible is within you. If you're looking for the right words at the right time, you can ask him, you can call on him anytime. Father, give me, open your scriptures to me. Give me the right word for this person of my family, my friends, my co-workers, or my community that I want to speak grace into their life. The power of the gospel. That promised Holy Spirit in us is exactly what that is. We don't have to be experts at this. We just need to abide in our family, knowing all the gifts that our Father has given to us and that are at our disposal. And all of those are just pure grace. You can be an effective witness for the Lord. And I love this. Listen to verse 5 of our text tonight. He says, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. You hear those words of comfort and assurance that we're in him. Whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. Perfected. Not coming close. When his word is in you, you are seeking to know his truth. You are giving time to his word, word and sacrament, especially in our Lutheran church. He gives us Sunday. That's one of his great commandments. We can focus on that. As Luther said, you know, that Sunday isn't so much about a day of rest. It's a day of rest from labor that we depend on putting bread on our table. But God says, you don't have to work on that day. I will provide for you and your bread on that day. But God says to us, I've got something even better for you. Because man wasn't created to live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God says, I created you that way. And oh, by the way, quit toiling. Come on in and sit in the pews. Sit under word and sacrament. And I'm going to pour my very love into your hearts, my effective word that can change your life, that sanctifies your life. I'm going to let you come to the power of the sacrament where you hear the words of our Savior say to you that this is given for the forgiveness of your sin. You can come here on a day and sit in peace, be strengthened, be sanctified, and know the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And yet we turn to the beggarly elements of the world so often. John goes on and says, and he who abides in him ought himself to walk as he walked. There's the key. So how did Jesus, if God's love abides in us and we're abiding in him, John says, then we ought to walk as he walked when he was here on earth in the flesh. And how was it? Well, from the gospel, we hear when Jesus went into the synagogue on the Sabbath at Nazareth, it says, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. That was Jesus' custom, to be in church on Sunday. It was Saturday then. But for the church has chosen the eighth day, the new day of creation, to be the day in the resurrection of our Lord, to be the day that we normally call to worship. But that can be different too. It's not a particular law, but we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the writer of Hebrews says. But we should come in on that day that the church allows and God has provided for us to be sanctified by his word and the sacraments. As Jesus' custom was, he was in church. If we love him, don't you think we should walk as he walked and make it our custom to be in church? I think so. Now, we know life in our modern life is busy and there's things that can pull us away. But the nominal walk of your life should be obedience to his commandment, especially this commandment. To be in church, to hear his word, to be filled with his spirit, to be empowered to be able to go out into this fallen world that seems to be getting darker all the time. Maybe it's just my perspective. But to have the light and the power that's in you to go out and shine. Again, I've used this analogy. Most of the world, the sinners, are like a ship that's out in the water and it's dark and they can't find their way. And then all of a sudden a lighthouse shows up and shows them the way. That's you in this dark world. Jesus said, that light that I've given you, the power of the Spirit, my word that's in you, you're a lighthouse. Don't put that light under a basket. Don't get distracted with the things of this world. But shine, church. Shine. Use this very day, the day for sanctification. Every time the church opens up, where you can hear word and sacrament, you can come and be a part of it. Take the opportunity. Love the Lord. Draw near to him. And he's promised he will draw near to you. Amen.